listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have a very close friend of mine and concert photographer extraordinaire, Mr. Steve Rose. How are you, Steve?
Good, man. How are you doing?
You're just chilling in Pee-wee's Playhouse. No big deal.
Dude. Yeah.
Dude, you know that show, I'm sure you and I were friends. You corrected me because I thought it was sixth grade, but you said it was fourth grade, and you're right.
Yeah.
But that's right around the time Pee-wee's Playhouse was on Saturday mornings, wasn't it?
Yeah, man.
Dude, yeah, Cherry, the whole gang, right?
Yeah, fourth is when I started at Hugo Reed, so that's how I knew, like, you know, fourth through sixth there.
Well, I remember watching Pee-wee's Playhouse every Saturday morning, and it was like an event, and it's like, yeah, it's cool. Awesome that you put that up as your screensaver, because that just takes me back, man. You don't see Cherry very often, just hanging out, you know. But yeah, man, that's awesome. How are you, dude? How have things been?
Good, man. It's been a couple days since I've seen you, but things are good.
I know you just shot some epic photos of Eric Gales, and you know we're going to talk about a little bit about that for a second. He is one of the greatest guitarists I think of our time. I really think he's like the modern day Jimi Hendrix, and you caught a pretty amazing photo of him. We're going to throw this photo up real quick. This is a photo of Eric Gales. This is such a burning picture on so many levels because, you know, as a guitarist myself, when you want to just dig in and get that, you know, thing, yeah, it's like you hope somebody captures it and gets the timing right. And you got the timing right. Like, tell me a little bit about, like, how you were able to just get this picture just right. How did you know when to take this picture?
Well, because he's left-handed and plays left-handed, I wanted to position myself different than I would if I was shooting a right-handed guitarist. And I was trying to make sure I capture a moment within the moment, right? Like, that's the song, but I think that's the moment of the song that you want to see, like, photo-wise. You know, yeah, that will leave an impression after the show's over or a few days later. And that's what I tried accomplishing with that. And it's weird because, you know, you're getting kind of like that Hendrix kind of vibe with the positioning he's in. The only difference is he's playing it not with the strings flipped like Hendrix would. He's playing it literally upside down.
Oh, but I thought Hendrix played it upside down, with the strings.
No, he flipped the nut and had it go the right way, right? So, but if you look, like, the, you know, the bass strings of that guitar on the bottom where, you know, normally the higher strings would be.
Right, so I thought that's the way Hendrix played it.
No, that's how Albert King played.
Really? So yeah, Hendrix played with
it and then flipped the nut to adjust it, so he'd be playing like how we would play right-handed. He just had it flipped. He'd play a right-handed guitar left-handed.
Dude, you're blowing my mind because I always thought he played it upside down. That's what everybody told me.
Yeah, no.
That's wild. Okay, I didn't know that.
The guitar is upside down, you know, as far as position, but the strings were the right way.
And Eric Gales plays it just upside down completely.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought Hendrix played it just – that's what I thought was so ingenious about how Eric Gales plays, because I thought he was playing it just like Hendrix.
No.
You sure that he flipped the nut on that?
You should check it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought that's one of the reasons he came up with some of those voicings.
Well, that's why he put the thumb over the top, because he would dip the bass strings.
That's right? True. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, dude, that totally makes sense. Yeah, that says it right there. But I also would think that because he's doing that, maybe he's getting voicings. You know, I don't know. I have to look, man. That's crazy. So,
yeah,
are you just shooting when you shoot? You kind of have to shoot a little wildly, right? Because you don't know when moments are going to happen. There's nothing coordinated. You know, no artist is going to tell you, okay, shoot me when I'm playing a guitar solo or whatever. Like, how do you kind of instinctively kind of like know the lines right and the moment's right for that picture?
Well, I think it's a few things. It's one, anticipation. You know, I may not get it, but I try to position myself in a place to get it. The other thing would be just being a guitar player and knowing where the shot might be.
Right.
And two is just years of doing it and hoping that you might catch it. So for a guitar player, like for Eric or whoever else I've shot, like a guitar hero, you're going to want to shoot the solo, right? Don't shoot them singing because you're not going to get a lot of variety. Just sitting in front of a microphone. But shoot the solo. And then you're going to get the most opportunity to get a cool pose or something unique because that's unique to that moment of the song.
I love this picture. You actually sent me a couple of Eric Gales and a couple of Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Yeah.
And like all my favorite pictures of Hendrix are like this. They look almost identical to this. And that's what like spoke to me when I saw, I was like, man, you gotta include this picture because it's just,
yeah, it was a good one. It was my first time shooting Eric. So I'm glad I got something, you know,
that that's worked. Awesome. I didn't know that. I thought you had shot him once before. That's crazy.
No.
So do you have like certain people you're like, I need to shoot them because I don't have them before? Or are there certain people you just like to shoot over and over again because it's recurring and you know you'll get something different?
I think it's both. You know, like I hadn't shot Kenny before. I've seen him a couple times, but I haven't shot him before. So I wanted to make sure I could try to, you know, get the opportunity to do that. There are bands that I haven't shot that I'd love to shoot. There are bands that a year ago, I'd say I haven't shot, and I've accomplished that since, right? So every year, I kind of go into it saying, I want to work with these bands or try to cover these bands. And then, you know, over the years, I've been lucky enough to be able to do that.
Well, let's go way back to the moment of Zen that made you want to shoot pictures. Because you were doing the music thing for a while, and then I didn't even know that you were kind of like into photography at all. What was the thing that made you become a concert photographer? Was it a photo that you saw? Was it a friend of yours or a mentor? What was the moment of Zen for you that made you want to start taking photos?
No, what it was, well, what made me pick up a camera was taking pictures of my cat to start off.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so I would take pictures of him with my iPhone, and one of them got put on Cats of Instagram. And
awesome.
And then from there, they're like at the end of the year, they put out a calendar and they included the photo in the calendar. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good just with my iPhone. Let me see what I can do if I got like a regular camera. So my wife got me a camera for my birthday at the end of the year. And
what
then,
was the camera out of curiosity?
The what?
What's the camera out of curiosity?
Oh, it was a Canon. It was like a kit lens. It was like $500 for the camera and the little bag and the lens. And then I didn't know about shooting concerts, like what went into that, right? It was, and what you need is you need an outlet you're shooting for, and you need to reach out to a publicist to then grant you the photo pass to then go shoot the show. And typically when you go shoot a show in the photo pit, you get three songs, and that's it. So you kind of got to like work quickly and efficiently and try to make sure you get something that stands out within the three songs. You got to figure three songs is 10 minutes or less to shoot based on the way music is now.
Why do you think they do that? Do you think it's because they don't want the artists having cameras in their faces? I've always wondered this.
It's a few things. The old like rumor was it started with Rod Stewart because his hair would only look good in the first three, and then as he would get sweaty and stuff, like it would then drop a little, and then so he'd look his best the first few songs. When I was working with Kenny over the weekend, his manager just wanted three just so we wouldn't be in their way, right? So he could then enjoy the show, but also not be in the way of the fans because they've paid money to sit up as close as they can, and they don't want me or anyone else standing in front of them for the whole show.
That's interesting because I always wondered, like, there's so many things that happen in a concert, and usually special guests or whatever come later in the night. Mm-hmm. So the first three songs, sometimes people would miss that, you know, concert photographers would miss that. Do you ever feel like you'd almost want to take photos like in the middle of the show, like middle three songs or last three, or is there an energy with that? Because like I remember playing Bonnaroo, and like the first 2 days we were just like walking around watching artists, and I would sneak into the photo pass area and I'd pretend to be taking pictures, and I was like, there's an energy when there's like tons of photographers taking pictures for those first three songs. There's a vibe. It becomes like, oh man, it's who's going to get the picture. It's almost like you're all shooting the same thing, but who's going to get that one picture that's going to stand out? Yeah. How do you kind of like Do you like that energy to kind of like thrive off it? Is it like a little bit of competition that kind of makes you kind of know where you're going to shoot, or how do you kind of approach it?
Well, I think as far as the artists know that they're giving you the three songs.
Right.
So the first time I shot John Mayer, you know, we had the three, but song four, the stage looked a whole lot better. The lights were all on, the screen was up behind him. So it was done intentional, right? They want to control what photos get out, and if they keep it very bare bones for the first three, then everything's going to look the same. Image going out is going to look uniform and, you know, not necessarily boring, but not necessarily interesting at the same time either.
Let's throw a picture of John Mayer real quick, because I love this picture.
Sure.
Sam, let's see if we can pull up. Yeah, I love this picture. This is another picture of him digging in. I actually have that guitar in Dodgem Blue, I think is the name of the color.
Yeah, that is the color of your guitar.
Man, I love that guitar. So it's been – I actually did my whole last record. The Crossroads record is all on that guitar. And a lot of it's because it's so light and it just sounds so killer. But I love this picture because he's digging in, and you know he's like – not in the middle of the like peak of the solo, but he's just getting warm, and that's what this picture kind of like it speaks volumes, because it's like what's so cool about it is I know from just watching him so many times he's digging in, but he's like right at the top of where he's about to just go crazy, and that's what's cool about this. Did you kind of know where he was? What song do you remember? Like songs that you take certain pictures, or is it like it's all a blur because it just happened so fast?
No, it's a blur at the, you know, now it would be, I'm sure the day after I could have told you this is a song in a set, and I can go back and find out which one it was, but I shoot photos with the guitar player in me in mind, right?
Right.
So I want to showcase the guitar as much as possible. One, because I would want to see that from someone taking a photo.
Yeah.
But two, maybe PRS wants to then use that for an ad, work with me or something, you know, so you never know what can come from a photo, but the initial intent for me is to take a good picture, do it during the solo, and make sure you get the gear you want to see in the shot.
That's interesting. And I love that. Like, I'm a gearhead too. So like when you take pictures of the whole guitar, or like, I can see how they set it up, or I can see them like where they are on the fretboard, kind of digging in, all of that's super interesting to me. Like those are the nuances that most people don't kind of like take notice of, but you know, do you have like certain rooms that you love to shoot in, like outside, indoor, festivals, theaters?
I do, but my answer is going to be like jaded and as a diva from years of doing this. So just know that. So my favorite place to shoot is the Forum.
Wow. Okay.
My least favorite place is any place without a photo pit.
Okay.
So like the Roxy would be one, no photo pit. You know, and I don't want to get there 4 hours before the band to stand up in front of the stage to try to get something good. Because then you're limited because you're at a fixed location.
Right.
But aside from that, you know, any venue with a photo pit, you know, is your best chance to do well at getting some photos.
And you've been traveling with Journey for the last couple of years. You've been traveling with Neil Sean, just doing a lot of his projects. Let's throw up a picture of Neil Sean from Journey. And just show this. This is a killer, killer, killer photo. It's kind of like it's out of this world a little bit, because it's like it almost looks like he's playing in the middle of space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love the flying V. I just love this picture. Was actually one of the most striking of the ones that you sent. That I was just like, man, this is why Neil saw, you know, your picture and said you need to come along and just do this. You know, follow us around and just document it. Tell me what, like, how you were able to capture that picture, and what happened to, you know, force you to kind of like maybe inspire you to get the light with the guitar like that, because it's a great picture.
Well, so that picture was taken in Tampa in 2018. We were on tour, and it was one of those back-to-back shows. We did another city in Florida. I don't know if this was first or second, but it's tough when you're shooting back-to-back shows of the same show,
right?
Because you want to make each night look like its own night and something special. And prior to going out on tour, I was talking to Neil Preston about advice for going on tour, because he had done it in the 70s and it was amazing shooting Zeppelin and Queen and stuff. And he said, start and finish each night in a different spot, and then every show will feel different. And oh, so I kept that in mind.
Neil's been a guest on our show.
Yeah, Neil's awesome. He's one of the like inspirations like for me to look up to about when I was getting started, even now, like the stuff he's done. So it was great to, one, get his advice on that. And then, two, I saw him at NAMM like the following year, and I reminded him of the advice he had given me, and I showed him a shot that I'd taken of Neil, and he hit me in the arm. And he was like, I'm jealous you got a shot like that, because that's something that I wish I could have taken.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great to have that interaction and have him appreciate what I've done, because, you know, even now when I see another photographer's photo just appear of mine, and they'll take a shot that either I haven't shot the band yet, so I didn't get, or we both shot the same show, but they got like a better photo. I just like, I'm like inspired, but also like, I got to try to shoot it again and try to capture that kind of magic that they got. But with that one of Neil, you know, when you're shooting a V, right, you got to have a specific angle so you don't cut off parts of the guitar, because it's longer than normal guitar. So I made sure to stand to the side of him, wait till I was at a solo, and I knew where the light was going to be because it was a spotlight for a solo. So
are you looking in the camera like as you're doing it, or are you kind of waiting? Okay.
No, I'm waiting to find a shot, and I probably have, you know, seven similar shots, but that was the one that I thought was the best of the bunch.
Yeah, it's interesting too, like how, like, I've, you know, just doing photo shoots and stuff, you learn stuff from photographers, and I'm such an amateur photographer, but I love it so much. I have so much respect for it, because I think there's certain energy when you know the photo's right, when there's just like, it just stands out. You know what I mean? It's like, I look at photos all the time, like in magazines or like, you know, and it's just, you know, Neil Preston, one of his photos that we talked about was that famous Freddie Mercury pose where he's like, man, it's blown up all over Vegas, and it's ginormous. And he's like, it was just a moment that happened, but he's like, I just was in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And it was, he's like, that's part of it. It's just like knowing that, you know, you're there to serve the artist and serve like the moment and serve the night and document it with, you know, you're able to freeze time. And it's like, that's a huge responsibility, but at the same time, it's a noble one. And it's one that I'll tell you from experience, it's like, you've taken a lot of photos of us. And that's what I always look forward to. It's like when a photographer captures the band or gets a shot, there's nothing better. Like, cause it's something that you put in a time capsule. It's like, I've used photos that, you know, as promo all the time for Instagram, social media, or website stuff, or even, and it's just like, when you get a good photo, it's priceless. It becomes priceless, you know? So first of all, thank you for taking shots of my band as well as all these epic bands. Yeah, I want to show this Pearl Jam shot. Let's show the Pearl Jam shot, because it's a different vantage point. I love this picture because you got all the hands up, and it's just a cool vantage point of the band and Eddie's expression. It's just like, you got, you know, Matt Cameron in the back, just like grooving, and it's just a slamming picture. Was this during a live? What was this moment? Do you remember this moment?
I can figure out the song. That was taken last year at the Forum, and it was, Pearl Jam was always the band on my list that I wanted to shoot when I got into this. And I hadn't up until last year, whether it be like the, you know, I either had a show when the tour was here, or I didn't have like an outlet to cover for, you know, whatever it was, but it lined up that I shot him last year. I was so excited to shoot the show that I got to the show 4 hours early and just sat in the car at the Forum, just waiting for the moment, you know? And unfortunately for that show, we had to shoot at the soundboard, which at the Forum can be pretty far back because they pick where they want to put it. And it was pretty far back. I was on a step stool. I was, you know, using a long lens. But for that shot, I went off the step stool. I went crowd level and just shot, basically. What I like about it is it shows the fans engaging, because if you look, Eddie's not on the microphone. So he's not telling him to do it. He's just watching the moment develop. And I'm there to try to capture that moment. And the band used that photo on their social media, so I know they liked it too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a big moment for me as a fan to have that opportunity as well.
Yeah, and that's when, didn't 10 come out when we were, was that sophomore year? I think that when we were 15.
No. Yeah, well, 10, no, 10 came out in, what, 92, 93? So I would have been a freshman, right? Or
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I'm 10th grade. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
They came out. What's amazing is, we played Bonnaroo and they headlined, And I actually snuck to the main stage area. And like I finally got into the main stage area, and I was just seeing them walk on stage. I was so bummed. I was like, ah! I was like, yeah, so close. But like some of those like concert experiences, even when you get that vantage point in the back, let's throw that picture up one more time. What's so amazing is you see the hands. You can almost hear the crowd noise in this picture. That's what I loved about it. And like you see the guys up behind the band taking pictures, and you know, you see the lights. Like, how do you can kind of like, how do you get the lighting right when it's out of your control? Like, how do you kind of know what, you know, setting to put it on to get the lighting right?
Well, the thing is the what's good and bad about this job is a lot of my job and being successful is determined on other people doing their jobs.
Right.
Right. So I don't have a say in the lighting. I don't have a say in you know, if they use a spotlight or strobe, whatever it might be. So I just have to wait for the moment and try to capture that. And so for this one, they happened to hit it with, you know, different, like brighter lights than they were normally doing for that song. And I was just there and I just got that moment. And I included that photo because while I feel like I'm going to get my best work the closer to the artist I can get, you don't always have to be as close to capture a moment in the show. Right. And that's what I feel like this one will give you, is like the energy of that night just in one photo.
Yeah, I love that Moose is in the picture, dude. He doesn't get in a lot of, because, you know, the organ player doesn't get, he's only in for like certain songs. He's probably in the show about half the show, you know? So it's just cool that you got him in the picture as well, you know?
Yeah.
Did you get like a ton of shots of MacReady and all the individual shots, or was it harder to do that from the
It was tough with the distance and with the lighting, but I got shots of everyone. I think Stone would probably be the only one I didn't get enough of, but it's just when I went to him to get the photos, he was just playing an acoustic, so it was like, you know, it's the shots are similar because the guitar hadn't changed.
And are you still using a Canon? Or are you doing an Nikon? I mean, those are like
No. So right before I went out, so the camera that I had initially gotten, you know, I used for a few shows and kind of graduated up to like the next model and then went from there. And then in 2018, prior to going out with Journey, Sony reached out and wanted me to try their mirrorless stuff because they were the only ones doing mirrorless at that time. And I said, sure, let me, you know, send me some stuff. So they sent me two bodies and two lenses, and I loved it. It was faster. It was quicker. It made my job easier, right? It's still a tool, right? It's cool, but it's still a tool.
Right.
And so I switched to Sony, you know, because they wanted me to switch. So they incentivized me to switch to using Sony, and I did. And it was great on tour. It was very reliable and efficient and fast, and it was fantastic. So that's the main camera. I'm going with a Sony and with a Leica, but the Sony is the workhorse.
Are you ever allowed to take pictures? Like when you're with Journey, are you allowed to take pictures while they're like kicking it on the planes and stuff like that? Or is that like not the time he only wants, Neil probably only wants it on stage?
Yeah, right? No, because I was there for Neil, right? Neil hires me and I take pictures of everything and everything goes to him and he'll put out or give, you know, to other band members what he wants, but everything's for Neil. So I'm not traveling with them, you know, on their plane to go show to show. They would fly me on my own, you know.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, that also probably gives them time to be not around press or
right. Like, yeah. I mean, they've got enough cameras in their face every time. They don't need me.
So they need that downtime. Like that would be. Oh, I was just wondering because it's like sometimes you see those random shots of like old 60s, 70s bands where they're traveling, and I'm like, dude, who took that shot? You know, because those are really intimate moments that you don't always get. So that's why I was curious.
Yeah. Like I feel like for what I do, like I shoot concerts. Like that's what I feel like I excel at. Like that's what I've trained for, you know, cause it's all self-taught. Like when I got a camera, I went on YouTube, learned how to set it up. And then I just went and did hundreds and hundreds of shows to get good at, you know, what I'm trying to do. But for me, I'd rather see a photo of Neil on stage in a solo than him sitting, you know, on a couch in his dressing room, as far as like between the two photos, right? It's cool to have the access, but I'd rather, what I've done in the past is I'd rather go into his dressing room and play his guitar than take a picture of him with his guitar. And so that's the cool thing. Cause Neil knows I play and I know gear. So when we talk, we don't talk photos. We only talk about gear.
That's awesome. Yeah.
yeah, like we'll text each other about guitars. We don't like the photos are just something I do, but like my passion is about the gear. And I never thought I'd say like, I, you know, I'm texting Neil about check this out or did you see this, but that's what we do, you know?
And you know what? He doesn't play a flying V very often. And so
no,
that's what
no, and that, really- that one was made from a luthier in Japan, custom made in that one. So
yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
Yeah, he got it that summer of the tour.
Wait, what's custom about it? Do you know?
It's all hand built. Like it's you know, to his specs, and it's got like engraving on it and special inlays, and just it's all done up. Like this guy's a master, and you know Neil works. But you know the best people, so he found him and he loves his work and he's done a few of them.
Have you ever taken a picture of his pedal board?
Yes.
You may have to send me a picture of his pedal board.
Yeah, it's a wide. It's a big pedal board. There's a lot going on.
Is it like the three tiers? Like you know, like it's like
no, it's a couple tiers, but it's just very long. It's like two boards. He's got the long board and he's got a little shorter one next to it.
It's funny because I looked up Kenny Wayne Shepherd's board when I was watching him. Like. Man, and we've got a lot of the same pedals. Like, we've got, I think, four of the same pedals. But he's got some other pedals that I was like, I've never heard of this pedal. I don't know what this pedal is. And I'm always curious about what guitar players are using. Yeah. Let's pull up a picture of Dave Grohl, because I love this picture.
Sure.
And the Foo Fighters. This is a pretty epic picture. I mean, you can tell he's well into the show just for how sweaty he is.
Yeah.
But it's also, I mean, this looks like prophetic. That's what I love about it. It's... He looks like a real icon in this shot. I love that you shot in black and white. Tell me why you chose to – you obviously edited this to be black and white. But tell me what made you choose for it to be black and white, because it's such a great choice.
I think certain photos really lend themselves to being a black and white photo. It makes it stand out. The lack of color makes the photo stand out amongst those in color. And for that one it just, I like the silhouette of it. You know, the Trini Lopez is silhouette basically, but you know, it's a Trini Lopez if you're a nerd like we are, right? Or you know what he plays. His face is just enough away from the microphone that you can tell that it's him. And it's just him engaging with, you know, something in the crowd.
Yeah.
Right? He's not looking at me or down at the photographers or whoever's in the front row. He's looking at whoever is in the, you know, 300 section or above and finding a moment with them.
Yeah, what I love it, like he literally looks like a lion just like, you know, peering out, you know, just like having this moment of like inspiration. You know, whatever it is, it's like it's a pretty epic moment. Did you send that to him? I'm sure his people probably put that on.
I got it over to his management and like as a result of those photos, I got to shoot them for his management when they came back through LA at the Forum. Well, when Taylor was still with them.
That's amazing.
But that one was taken in Seattle. You know, I wanted to shoot them and I was free. You know, that night, so I flipped to Seattle to shoot it and made it happen.
I love that you like this is like what you do because you love music, you love concerts, and you love photography, and you found. Like a position and career where it's like you get to explore all three. Are there any like vintage pieces of gear that you've come across these guys or amps or whatever that you're like, it's a music question for me, like that you're like, oh my God, this, you have this? Like, is there a piece of gear? Tell me some of those stories.
There's tons. I mean, I've been around 259 bursts that Neil has bought. I've been on stage with Bonamassa's Dumbles and in his bursts.
Does he have one of Stevie Ray Vaughan's Dumbles? I know no. Mayer has one or two of them.
Mayer has one. But apparently the Dumble to have is the one that Jason Isbell just got.
Wow.
Which was a late 70s Dumble. And then he was just at the Greek a month ago.
We were there
the same time. So I got a photo of him. You can see the Dumble, you know, behind him kind of, but you can tell it's a Dumble if you're a nerd. But he's using a 53 burst with a Dumble. And I was like, you know, it's pretty good.
I was actually very impressed with his guitar playing.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Kind of blown away. Like I knew the Drive-By Truckers. Never really saw them live. I don't think I've seen them live, but I was very impressed with Jason Isbell. I want to pull up this picture of ZZ Top that you have.
Yeah.
Because this is, first of all, you got Dusty in the picture. And, you know, I saw ZZ Top first open for Tom Petty. And I got to tell you, man, I've never heard guitar tone like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so wild. And then we opened up for ZZ Top and Dusty died. Dusty died that year. And I was so afraid they were going to cancel the show because Dusty being, you know, gone.
Yep.
And they ended up having their roadie kind of like fill in, and he started growing out his beard.
Yeah.
And I remember walking on stage and seeing a wall of magnetones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, of course, this is why the tone is. But this picture, I have to tell you, is super special because you were able to catch Dusty. And I love that Dusty's face, you really capture a lot of Dusty's face, you know? And John Beard, the one guy that doesn't have a beard named John Beard.
Oh, Frank Beard.
Frank Beard, that's right, that's right. Yeah. I always call him John. Frank Beard, just the only one that's not, you know, wearing a beard.
No beard.
Just grooving with his gloves. But Billy Gibbons, I mean, man, what a badass. What a cool guitar player. And I can't believe he still throws down the way he does. Where was this show? And tell me what the inspiration was behind getting this picture.
That show was in Vegas. And I was getting enough shots of Billy and Dusty on their own. And it's tough to get a drummer because that was at a theater. So you have to only shoot from the sides and the back. You can't go in the pit because there's no pit. It's just fans in the front, right? Like kind of was for Kenny Wayne Shepherd. So I just went to the front by the soundboard and just used the longer lens and went tight. And I wanted to get all of them in the shot, right? Cause you know, that's ZZ Top is all of them, right? It's not just Billy and two guys. Or,
yeah,
so absolutely. I wanted to get the band.
Well, it's what's really cool is like that shot now is priceless because of Dusty's absence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So what the crazy thing is like watching them play, they don't really miss a beat. They kind of, they still sound the same, but Dusty was a major part of that band. And he's, you know, I watched the documentary of the band before mm-hmm. we opened for him, just so I could learn kind of like really, you know, details about the band. I had no idea he was such an Elvis freak and, you know, just like how much the band was just huge on blues and naming their band after B.B. King and, you know, all of those things. But what's so awesome is you were able to capture them with their cool-ass hats playing together in a tight space because they don't usually stand there like that. They're usually like a giant triangle. And you got them in this tight little triangle. Do you remember what song they were playing when you got that shot?
No. But like I tell people, is like in a photo, they're playing your favorite song and it sounds great.
Yeah, that's very true, dude. Yeah. I'm looking at the list of pictures because I want to make sure we hit all of them. Let's throw up Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. This is a killer photo. What I love about this, it's very, it's almost like comic book-like. You know, it's almost like, what's the character from Batman? I think is it Two-Face? What's the guy that has Two-Face, right?
Yeah.
He kind of looks like that villain. And like what I love is like his music is dark and you have the right lighting. It's like he's like that light in the dark. Tell me like what the inspiration was. Was the lighting just perfect in this moment? Tell me, you know, why you also made it black and white again, having such a striking color contrast. But tell me about it.
So that photo, it was taken at the Palladium and I was upstairs shooting down to the stage with a long lens. And if you've been to a Nine Inch Nails show, there's a lot going on stage, not only with the musicians, but also with the lighting.
Yeah.
So that was just strobes flashing over just nothing. It was like a black moment. They just flashed strobes. So I was just holding down the shutter, trying to get something that was in focus, but also that looked cool. And that photo is special because this was in 2018. My grandma died that morning.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
And it was my birthday.
Wow.
So I felt like she would want me to go to work, and I did. So now every year on my birthday, I try to shoot a show you know, in honor of her, like, just working. So that was taken on my birthday, the morning my grandma died, and I just wanted to try to find something that worked, and I think, you know, I did okay with that one.
It's like kind of a haunting picture. Sam, let's throw that picture up one more time. It's kind of a haunting picture because, like, I got to watch him on stage when we played Bonnaroo. I think it was 2009.
Yeah.
And, man, he has such a commanding presence. And you were able to capture that with this picture because he's, like, a very intense musical mind and performer. And you kind of got both those angles in this picture. It's like you see like the cerebral part of him kind of like being the stoic musician, but you also get like the power of his performance and like his musical prowess a little bit just from like, you know, there's a stance that he has that's like a very, you know, strong pose. And then you captured it. It's just, it's amazing to me like that, you know, you were able to capture this moment and like, usually I wouldn't love, you know, when singers are like looking off into the distance. I love when they're like closing their eyes or they're in that place. But yeah. This is like he's taking in a moment or creating a moment, and there's a story here. What about this photo jumped out at you when you were taking it? I mean, when you were editing it.
Look at his hands around the microphone.
Yeah.
He's not about to sing a ballad, right? You know he's about to yell something. You don't hold a microphone like that to like say something peacefully.
And he's also flexing. You can see how flexed he is, you know?
Yeah. So like it's the energy or the moment is tense and it's about to happen. And I captured it right before it did.
It's so wild. Yeah, man. He really, I mean, honestly, this definitely looks like something like dark and superhero villain-esque about it. It just has this really cool, powerful vibe. But it's got dark energy, which is what his music does, too. It's got, like,
yeah,
cool, brooding, emotional power to it, you know? I loved it when I saw it for that, because it's... And tell me why you chose the black and white.
I just like the way all you really see is what, like, it allows you to see. It's like some of the sleeve, his arm... You know, it's two arms, like one full arm, and then, you know, the other part of his hand, and then just his face, right? You barely see a mic stand. You see the cord just drift off into nothing. It's just, it's allowing you to, like, focus on what you think might happen next.
Yeah, and, you know, I know with photography, there's a law of thirds. So explain a little bit of that, because you kind of capture a lot of that in this picture.
Well, if I do it, it's just by accident. Because, like I said, I have no formal training. It's just a lot of instinct and trial and error from what I've done in years past.
Well, you know, do you know the law of thirds? I'm sure
I do. Yeah.
So it's like you capture that so perfectly in this picture. It's like, man, there's like all the negative space is like it just becomes irrelevant. And the image is so striking. Let's throw that picture one more time up. Like, what I love about it is, like, there's so much, like, darkness and black, and the real proponent of the picture, he's off-center. You know what I mean? That's what's so cool about it. It's, like, it's jarring your attention because it's challenging it. You know what I mean? So,
well, for this tour, it was called The Cold and Black and Infinite, and I felt like this photo represents a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it with this one, man. Let's throw up a picture of Slash, your favorite guitarist.
Yep.
One of my favorite guitarists. Dude, this is such a perfect, like, capturing of, you know, a rock icon. First of all, the T-shirt, dude. The Hot Wheels T-shirt. That's so funny, dude. But it's also the coloring. Like, what I love about it, it's like you got the black hat, black shirt. Everything's black and white. And then the guitar, like, stands out so much. And is that a 59 Les Paul? What year does he play?
Well, he'll use 59. I mean, his preferred choice of Les Paul is a 58, but he has, you know, 58 through 60. He has like the burst, like, you know, for those that don't know, initially Gibson only did Sunburst guitars from 1958 to 1960. And so that was, you know, those are like the holy grail of guitars, but they also cost, you know, upwards above $250,000, depending on condition and, you know, who's owned it before. But for this one, it's just like, you know, Slash is a Guitar Hero, right? And I feel like this shows him singularly as that Guitar Hero.
Those humbuckers, they are, right?
Yeah. He's got a signature Seymour Duncan El Nico 2 humbuckers. But like, what do you know Slash for? A top hat and a Les Paul, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's in the photo.
Yeah, and what show was this?
This was, he played with his band at the YouTube Theater last year in LA. And we had to shoot from the second level, that's where the soundboard was. And there were 19 of us crowded up there. So it was a tough shoot, but you know, if one photo makes it all go away, right?
But I love that, like, you know, that's really what's really cool about this picture too. It's like, that's really optimal guitar technique to have the guitar like faced like that. You know, like that's where a lot of classic guitar poses, you know, kind of come from, the angle of the guitar. And like, he is just digging in all the right ways. And it's just cool what he's doing in this picture, because you can tell he's thinking about what he's playing. You know, he's like, all right, I'm about to wail and blow people's minds. And then, you know, I'm sure he does. And, you know, what I love too is like, you see where the pickup position is on the guitar. Those are the nerdy things that I like, because it's like, oh, he's playing middle position on this. I wonder, like, if he stays there the whole time, does he, I mean, you've watched him a lot. Does he switch between the pickups?
Oh, yeah.
I don't ever notice that he does. So it's kind of cool to see that he's, I guess, in middle position right now.
It looks like it's a bridge.
So it looks down to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's the angle. It looks like it's in the middle, but maybe you're right. Maybe it is the bridge pickup. Yeah, that guy's a beast, dude. That must have been such a thrill, because I remember you in sixth grade loving Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And just such a diehard fan.
No, I mean,
tell me what that experience was like. That must have been a dream come true.
When did Appetite come out? Like 88 or something like that?
I want to say Appetite came out. No, I think Appetite came out. Okay, so let me think.
I'm going to look it up.
No, I want to say it was 86.
Don't you start with me. Don't you mess with me.
Look it up. Let's look it up. I'm going to look it up too. I'm pretty sure Appetite for Destruction came out in 86. Because I remember I was in
the 60s. We're both wrong. 87.
87. Okay, middle year. Right. Okay.
So I had that cassette in 1987. I was 9 years old. I turned 10 that year because I was born in 77. And so from 9 years old, I've been a fan of the band. I even bought the Appetite on CD just for the booklet, right? Because it was easier to read like the lyrics and see the pictures bigger. 3 years before I had a CD player.
Wow.
I just wanted it for, you know. But
and you got the tall CDs, I'm sure.
Yeah, the long box. Tall
CDs, dude. Yeah. The long box. Because I remember seeing that Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, like it was just the tall boxes. Oh,
dude, I got those CDs. I pre-ordered them, you know, this will be regional and dated, but I pre-ordered them from Sam Goody in Arcadia at the mall.
Ah, that's amazing. The mall, dude.
And I pre-ordered it like, you know, 4 months in advance. Just to like be a nerd and have that receipt to hold on to, knowing that there was a fixed date when it was finally coming out. You know, it was crazy.
So tell me what that experience was like shooting them, because.
Well, so I've shot them a few times before. The first year I got into this, I shot like 10 shows, but he was one of the ones I shot. I drove out to one of the casinos and I shot him, and I was the only photographer allowed it, like in the pit. It was just me shooting 3 songs of like my idol. And it was great. You know, I had a lot to learn about photography still. Like some of the settings were really off and I had to go back and save it when I was editing, you know, just to bring some of the levels down. But it was amazing to have that opportunity the first year of you know, starting to take pictures. And I've shot them a handful of times since, but I feel like that's been my favorite photo.
Well, the color contrast is huge, which I love, but it's also like the guitar pose, the vibe. Yeah. Is I mean, it's the sunglasses. I mean, this is like, and the dude doesn't age. I mean, it's kind of a trip, dude. The guy's
fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that he still fits into leather pants and pulls them off as like an older dude and rocks. And his guitar playing, you know, it's still, he's still like whales. It's just, it's kind of amazing. Let's move on to another photo. I want to play. I want to put up Ray Luzier from Korn.
Yeah.
So tell me what the inspiration behind this was.
So I feel like I can't only showcase guitar players. So yeah. I figured I'd go through and find a cool drummer shot. And this one was taken in Irvine at Five Point, also from the soundboard. So quite a distance away, a couple hundred feet away. But if you look, it's like he's looking at me or, you know, at the camera.
Yeah.
But what I like is the pose between the song. But if you look, you can see the Vic Firth on the drumstick in his left hand, right? Like,
it's, yeah.
So I'm always thinking, like, you know, does a company want to buy a photo, right? So like, yeah. I'm able to capture some of those, like, brands, you know, mid-use to showcase some of that. But I thought it was, of the drummer shots I've taken, this is one of my favorite.
Well, I love it, too, because you have, like, the ride and the crash and, you know, all the symbols around him. And he's perfectly encapsulated by all of them. Like, drummers, you know this, dude. Drummers are the hardest to shoot because of the symbols and the drum positions and all that.
But look at that symbol going above his head. Like, it's not an optimal place to put a symbol for a photographer.
Yes.
So I had to find a way to, like, get it out of, like, you know, not chop off his head and just have a symbol for hair, basically. And so
it's a little hat. It's so perfect.
Yeah. I mean,
and what's amazing too, it's like, you know, it's hard to get a full like body and face shot of a drummer just because of the cymbals. So like when you saw the drum setup, were you like, ah, oh, this is going to be a bitch? Or did you kind of like, oh, there's an opportunity to see where I could get it?
Well, it's like, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but I'll accept it to see what I could do. Right. Like I put in all the years at this, you know, trying to be better than I was the night before. And, you know, we'll see if I can get close to it.
And do you feel like when it comes to, like, when you're editing, do you feel like editing has become easier or, like, a process that you kind of, like, know, like, when I see a picture in the lens, like, when you're looking at it in the camera, you know what you're going to do to it? Are there, like, things that you're, like, you don't really see until you're editing it and you're kind of, like, pulling certain lighting out of it or you know, little hues out of the picture?
Well, I feel like over the years, my editing has gotten better. Just my knowledge of using Lightroom has gotten better. But like I said, I'm all self-taught even with editing. So a lot of it, I'm sure I don't use Lightroom to the fullest of its capabilities. But I know how to edit a photo enough to then get it off of my memory card and, you know, in something I can email around. But I don't know what I got until I get home. Because I don't go and look while I'm shooting because I don't have time usually to do that.
Right.
I don't want to miss another moment looking at a previous moment. And that's why I'm always...
Photos that night or in the morning?
No, always that night. So wow. So I'll get to that. But like, I never stay for a show. If I just get three songs, I'll shoot them and leave. Like, it doesn't matter who the show is or what it is. I want to see what I got because that's more important to me than hearing a song live that, you know, I've probably seen already. But when I got started at this, you know, I was still working a day job and I would do this at night. And there was no money at the beginning. There's
you know,
not much now, but there was more now than there was. But I would work, you know, get home at 5 or 6 and then drive to a show and then get home from the show and then edit that night because I wanted to get the photos to the editor of whoever I was covering for that morning, right? So when they got to work, the photos would be waiting for them. My job was done. And then I go to work and do it all over again, hopefully, you know, a couple days after. So that would mean sometimes I would go to bed at 2 or 3 and I'd wake up at 5 or 6 to go to work and then just operate like that for a few weeks, depending on how many shows I had. The first year I did 10 shows, but the next 2 years I did like 400 shows.
Oy. And now are you just excited like a little kid, you know, because when you love what you do, that's how it is. You know, it's like, well, you're excited.
You know, it's changed over the years. Initially I shot that many shows because it was any type of music within 2 hours of LA, because I figured I'm just getting started. Everyone's going to be in LA requesting whatever show's coming through. I'll go to Orange County. I'll go to Santa Barbara, San Diego, within 2 hour drive so I can make it back and still edit that night. and any type of show, country, rock, rap, anything, to get used to different lighting conditions, different, you know, if you shoot a rap show, you've got to notice that a rapper is not going to move the mic out of their, away from their mouth very often.
Right.
And when they do, that's the time to take a picture.
Right.
Right. Right. Otherwise you're getting the same shot. You know, you've got this for, you know, so it, but you only know that by shooting a lot of shows and knowing how it's going to be, right? Knowing what to look for, what angles you prefer, so someone else maybe doesn't have the same shot as you.
Well, you're very close to having a book. I mean, you can definitely post a book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know that's like probably low on your totem pole, but it's like, man, you got some great, great pictures. You have one of Lenny Kravitz. We don't have it. Yeah. But I want to drop your website. Where can people find you on your site? Just, you know, before we sign off, I want to show one more photo. But you have a killer photo of Lenny Kravitz. Tell people your website.
So the website is steverosephotos.com. My Instagram is Steve Rose, just Steve_Rose. You know, I've got Facebook, you know, Steve Rose Photos, but I don't, mainly Instagram is where I put most of my stuff.
Your photos are killer. I want to show this one, Mikey Way from My Chemical Romance.
Yep.
This is such a, this is almost the equivalent of the Slash photo because of the angle of the instruments and the color scheme too. You know, he's got a sparkle guitar, a bass guitar.
Yeah.
And tell me what, like how you were able to capture this. Was he kind of like, obviously he's not in that position a lot. So how did you know this was going to work with the angle and just the lighting and everything?
Well, the music nerd in me wanted to get the full shot of the bass, right? Because this was a Fender Custom Shop bass that they had given him prior to this show or this tour. It was prior to the show, like a few weeks before. So I wanted to showcase the bass. The pose is unique enough to make it stand out amongst other shots. But recently, a couple months ago, Fender released a signature model of this bass, and they used this photo as part of the ad campaign.
That's amazing. Really?
Yeah. So after I took this shot, I would tag the artists in the photos, and Mikey saw it and reached out to me, and he said he loved the shot. And, you know, I've taken some of the best pictures he's ever seen of himself, which was a great honor, because a band like My Chemical Romance has probably been photographed, you know, a number of times by a number of people. So to have that distinction was pretty nice of him to say. But during the pandemic, during the lockdown, like, we would just message each other about, like, random stuff, like, you know, the Dodger game or the Kings or whatever. So it took the, like, musician photographer thing out of it and just like, you know, two guys talking sports.
Yeah.
So, but this show was their reunion show at the Shrine in 2019. And I was fortunate to be able to be one of the few in there to cover the show, but also to get some shots that really resonated with members of the band and like developed a relationship because of it. You know, they played the Forum last year. They did 5 nights. Well, I shot 4 of the 5.
Wow.
Because he loves what I do. And he just gave me, he's like, shoot as many as you want. I didn't do all 5 because one night they didn't have press covering. So every night they allowed press, I was there.
That's amazing. Tell me some of the obstacles you deal with trying to capture these artists or just taking photos. Like, I'm sure lighting is a big one, but talk to me about some of the obstacles of what you do.
Well, it's, you know, initially getting a photo pass, right? Getting through to a publicist, or luckily where I am in my position is like, I can just go directly to a band's manager. We have a relationship and, you know, it's a little bit easier to get approved for shows.
Right.
You know, I've,
especially
I've been, with what?
Especially with your track record, you've taken.
Yeah, maybe. Or just, so you know.
It has to be easier.
Yeah, I just want to be known as someone who's consistent with what they do. And, you know, I'm always respectful and polite to people and help out when I can. But, you know, I've been denied for 2 shows this year, which is pretty good. Some people only got approved for 2. So
I'm trying to get one of those. And, man, that bummed me out because it's still like, I'm going to make that happen somehow. So
yeah, that's all right. It's not a big deal. So
sometimes are difficult. Like, it's so weird to me because I know having a photographer, how much of a privilege it is.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of people take it for granted as far as artists, you know, like even managers and labels, they don't understand how valuable this stuff is as time goes on, because it's not just like, it's the photographer. It comes down to the eye, you know, it's like, yeah. Who has the eye, and who's it's not like anybody can just take pictures. There's an art to it, and you really are able to capture these artists in such a great way. And you've done the same with my band, man. You've taken some of my favorite photos of my band, whether it's at the Whiskey or at Arroyo Seco or a House of Blues. And I love your pictures. You know this. And, man, you're just a tremendous photographer. Tell me who's a band. There's a number of bands. Tell me five bands that you hope to shoot in the next year or 2 years that you haven't shot yet.
Well, I want to shoot The Roots.
Oh, awesome.
I want to shoot Ice-T.
Yeah.
I want to shoot who else? This year I would have said The Cure, but I shot them earlier this year already.
At the Bowl? Did you shoot them at the Bowl?
No, I shot – because the Bowl, for photography, it's not ideal. Mm. They're very strict. You have to shoot from the soundboard. And I avoid the Hollywood Bowl as a photographer for that reason. So I drove Chula Vista and shot them down there.
Oh, that's cool.
They had a photo pit. And, you know, again, allowed me my best chance to get something usable.
That's awesome. I saw them at the Bowl. I was blown away. I loved them.
Yeah, I went to one of those. So the one in Chula Vista was first, and I only got to shoot two songs. But it was enough to be like, I got to see the show. So then I got a ticket, and I saw them at the Bowl one of the nights. But they were fantastic, you know. Still sound great, you know. But I don't know if I can think of five, you know, off the top of my head. I want to shoot Pearl Jam again.
Yeah. I know you shot Dave Matthews Band. I know you shot.
I'm going to shoot them next week. I got them. Yeah, next week.
Are you doing the Yamava show?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to the Irvine. I'm not going to the.
Yeah, I'm doing both the Irvine ones. Like Dave Matthews and the band, where like I've been to a number of shows prior to being a photographer. It's one of the bands like I wanted to shoot, and then when I shot him at the Bowl, they actually let us in the pit. And then I think I told you about like early on, like. They bought one of my photos to use for like That's marketing awesome. Things, which was cool, you know, and it helps like solidify those relationships because then managers and people know what I can do and the type of work I can do.
I have to link you to their photographer. He's an Indian guy. And we became friends online and I just sent him my record and we've been talking a bunch. And if you're at the show, maybe I'll coordinate so we can all meet at the same time.
Well, that'd be cool.
I'll have to text you because that would be cool. Just two rock photographers meeting each other would be a cool vibe. So there, what about any vintage bands like Frampton or The Who or somebody like that? Are there any?
I shot The Who last year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So no other bands? You think The Stones?
I did The Stones. Did The Who.
What about Clapton? Have you done Clapton?
No, but you know, like we talked about, I'll try to get into the Crossroads thing and maybe I could shoot it, but I don't know, you know.
Well, if you get a good Clapton photo, please send it. I just put one on my wall. It's on my door, but you can't see it. But I'll have to send you a picture of it. But yeah, Steve, I look forward to more pictures of all the rock gods and goddesses that you always take pictures of. And one more time, where can people find you online?
All right. Website is steverosephotos.com and Instagram is Steve Rose, but it's Steve_Rose.
Awesome. Thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We'd love having you come back. We're going to have you come back again. I know you're going to have a ton more artists to shoot from, but dude, you're all aces in my book. You know this. We go back all the way in fourth grade, man. All the way in fourth grade. And we both had this. We had such a miserable sixth grade teacher, Mr. Bolot. And we made it through that, so that's where our bond got strengthened because we were both in the most of the time we were in detention with that dude.
Yeah, man. Next time let's talk gear. I want to do a gear episode.
Oh, I'm down to do that. We'll do gear next time. All music gear. Yeah. And we'll take apart some of your pictures and talk gear and just because I could definitely do that. I'm down. Well, dude, you have an open invitation to come back, man. Thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. I'm going to have Sam, myself, and Steve. Peace and love. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other.
See ya.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.